Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Good afternoon. I'm Naima Latif, and you're listening to the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And today, we have just come from a magnificent celebration of Reverend Jesse Jackson's 80th birthday here at the national headquarters of Rainbow Push. And there were so many dignitaries present. If you followed us on our personal Facebook page, you saw the mayor of the city of Chicago and Congressman Danny K. Davis, Congressman Bobby Rush, and so many that came to honor this great man who is a world leader. Well, I am here now with someone who is head of the World of Soul Motorcycle Club, and he has driven all across the country, escorted students on the HBCU tour, and also has organized bikers in a powerful way to do many community service work, and we are so honored to have with us our guest today. So introduce yourself to our listening audience. And give us a little bit of information about what the World of Soul Motorcycle Club does.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Terry Harvey is my name with the World of Soul Motorcycle Community. And we are a network of motorcyclists and clubs, about 9,600 of them, started as a social network and transitioning over into World of Soul Motorcyclists Association. And in this way, we can connect the riders with commercial interests, add some value to their unique riding experience. But, you know, the challenge at the onset was when you're talking to 9,600 motorcyclists at clubs on a daily basis, what do you say to them? Where do you lead them? Well, our work pretty much centers around social and cultural reconciliation. And in 2008, we had an opportunity to raise money for Dr. King's Memorial in Washington, D.C., which was a really good way to kickstart the initiative, connect with our cultural heritage, and also later on our institutions by way of our Reverend Jesse L. Jackson Sr., which I've come here to Rainbow Push today to pay homage to, because he is the man that has given us the higher calling as far as our purpose is concerned, a way to reach back into our cultural heritage and institutions to connect our young people and support them with their pursuit of a post-secondary education. So we are doing just that. We're organizing local teams and local communities called Writers United to Serve Humanity. Does that sound familiar? That's a takeoff from PUSH, People United to Serve Humanity. But we found in the motorcycle community there are 12 different types of motorcycle organizations representing the depth and diversity of motorcycling, no different than Jesus Christ during his time with the 12 disciples. They all came from different areas. He taught them to go therefore and teach these things to the people. And we've got a plan. We've got an agenda. And we intend to do the same thing through the motorcycle community, utilizing local influencers as channels of distribution. So they are the Riders United to Serve Humanity to bring forward the depth and diversity of motorcycling. Our sole purpose here in Chicago, as far as the community is concerned, is to help more young people get to and through college. We have recently have one mentee that has graduated from Fisk University with a master's degree in physics. I didn't say physical education, I said physics. So imagine that. Our proof of concept is there. So it's just a matter now of spreading the goodwill and the good opportunity to help more young people with their pursuit of a post-secondary education, primarily connecting them with historically black colleges and universities. We found that college tours have encouraged students to graduate college and go on to pursue a college degree. So by taking more of the kids out of Chicago on a bus tour where they can get out of here with dodging bullets and allow their spirits to calm on the bus on the way to the south, the east, the southwest, wherever the HBCUs are located, they have an opportunity to examine, see other people that look like them, live, love, learn, work, and play in an educational setting, envision themselves in that setting and ways to connect, namely graduate high school and go on to pursue a college degree. We've got so many things that are going on in the streets of Chicago, in the communities of color, and it's time that we really clear the streets. We got to get these kids out of here and take them to places that showcase their full potential, showcase their possibilities. So we're encouraging the motorcycle community to be a driving thrust behind that movement, but not only the motorcycle community taking part in it, but also to collaborate with community organizations, institutions, governmental agencies, with the support of elected officials, other foundations, and corporate interests. We're talking about a vision that culminates with 20 to 30 tour buses filled with Chicago area students, escorted by 100 motorcyclists or more out of Chicago en route to historically black colleges and universities. So can you imagine what that would look like going down the Van Line Expressway or any U.S., any interstate USA? Well, it's an image that we're looking to project to encourage a paradigm shift on the perceived value of education. When you look around the community, particularly African-American communities, everything that you see is a manifestation of the level of education in that community. So imagine if we lift up our capacity to do more, if we empower our toolbox with the tools that we can use to make a difference in our communities will look no different than any other community. And I strongly believe that all the issues that we have in the community, the answer to that, those issues, are education and the application of things learned. So I want to thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to speak. My name is Terry Hardy, once again, everybody, World of Soul Motorcycle Community. We have Rise for Change, Rise for Hope Foundation, which is the charitable interest, manages the charitable interest of World of Soul Motorcycle Community to primarily bring together the resources to help World of Soul Motorcycle Community reach its full potential in helping young people reach theirs. Stay connected with us at our Facebook pages, Rise for Change, Rise for Hope Foundation, and also World of Soul Motorcycle Community. You can also join our mailing list at our website, which is rideforchangerideforhope.org. Once again, that's rideforchangerideforhope.org. And you can also reach me via telephone at 773-220-2602. I'll say that too one more time. That's 773-220-2602. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you today, and I'm looking forward to so many more great things as a result of the great work that's been done by Reverend Jackson here at Rainbow PUSH and the Rainbow PUSH family. We're fired up, and we're ready to make application of the things learned.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Terry Hardy. And that was Writers to Serve Humanity. Right. That is so powerful. Well, if you are a biker, you need to call and get a part of this movement. Now, what about those I don't know what you call those three wheel motor bikes.
Oh, the trike.
Yeah, the trike. Is that part of your group too, or do you have to be two wheels?
Well, you know, eventually you get a little older, and it's hard to put that kickstand down, so you get a third wheel to balance things out.
Okay, so they can join also, huh? All right, there you go. You can be a bicycler or a tricycler. You can come on and join and definitely be a part of this powerful movement. And as you said, we have the power to change what is occurring in our communities. We can stop the violence. We can save the children. We can do all of these things with the power that we have. So we thank you so much, Terry Hardy. And we have Mama D over here. Mama D, come on over here and show us your fabulous self. Speak for a moment. And, you know, of course, we really enjoy the fact that Reverend Jackson is a magnet for so many powerful forces. And Mama D, of course, is our fourth Saturday host. We are live on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Just spoke to Terry Hardy of World of Soul Motorcycle Club. And Mama D was one of those who attended the 80th birthday celebration. Oh, she's our own historian, giving us insight on a lot of what has happened in the movement that changes the world. So Mama D, oh, I love those shoes. Oh, she's looking fabulous, y'all. I need to give you all a visual. I mean, she's got this white dress on and got a what is it, leopard skin mask, matching purse, matching shoes. I mean, she made COVID look just fashionable. But got the whole outfit here.
You know, I had to get in my white on. I said 80 degrees. In October, let me wear that white one more time.
One more time. Well, Mama D,
I always have to leave for this. Hey, let me wear that one.
Hey, it's looking good, looking good. I want to be like Mama D when I grow up, y'all.
Absolutely.
So, I try my best.
You went on the rich today, y'all.
Yeah.
Extra wonderful in a black shapely outfit.
Oh, I'm trying.
And, oh, man.
Well, Mama D, tell her, what did you think about Reverend Jackson's celebration today?
Well, of course, I wish him a happy Earth Day birthday, because I'm on this mission to give mothers credit so that if the mother is the first teacher, and if you get your relationship right with your mother, then you wouldn't have so many domestic violence problems with other females in your life. So however they're treating you, you know they did not have any respect for their mother. And it just goes way, way back. I mean, my birth, no. You should never enter into this world on a life hook. It is not your birthday. Your mama did the birthing. Your mama did labor. Your mother did the work. And you got born. It is your born day, but it is her birthday. And what's more, this is your natural Mother's Day, the day that she became your mother. And your siblings, the day that she became their mother, that is your natural Mother's Day. You know, now that second Monday in May, that's anybody's mama's day. But you have one natural mother, whether you like her or not. You lived inside of her for 9 months. She shared her food, her air, and her water, and her emotions with you. And that is why you should share others. This world is about sharing. But you come into this world with this my birth, but it's not your birth, you know, and then you like other people better. Maybe you like Big Mama or your favorite auntie, but you got one mother whose womb was blessed. No matter how young she was or how old or how big or her womb was blessed. And she needs credit for the work that she did. We skip right over the mother, you know. And once we get that right relationship with your first teacher, when she teaches you how to respect her, then you will know how to respect your wife at other women that are females that come into your life. So I am on a mission to stop domestic violence by showing respect and the truth about your birth.
Wow.
Birthday. And then people still don't want to give the credit. So they'll say, my born day. No, you missed it. My Earth Day. No, you missed it. And so when Reverend, so when Reverend was really grieving, really a lot about his losing his mother, I made a little card for him. I got her a photograph out of the newspaper and put it on a little plastic card. And I said, your mother is not here, but she has not gone. You lived inside of her for 9 months. Now she lives inside of you forever.
I love that.
And I gave him a little card, laminated, small enough to go into his wallet.
Oh, that is so special. Oh, I know he'll love you forever for that. Oh, that's just so beautiful.
Well, I don't know, but maybe that is why he told the people over WBON that I was his soulmate.
Oh!
And he told the people on WBON, Dorothy had cut me off. Dorothy still didn't cut me off or something. And he said her name twice. He said, Dorothy. Leave Mama D alone. But
on
you know,
a mission, let her do what she do.
Sometimes someone said today, what personal little thing had he left with you?
Wow.
The personal little thing that he really left with me was he told me, Mama D, you are a caboose. You're a caboose, and you need to hook up to the train.
Mm.
So then I thought about that. I said, well, I like being a caboose. A caboose can lead the train. A caboose can follow the train. Or a caboose can travel alone.
Ooh, that's a deep thought. Wow.
I said, wow.
Yes.
I said, wow.
Wow.
And that was just so profound.
Profound.
So special.
Yes.
I said, yes, he is absolutely right.
Wow.
How would he come up with that?
Yeah.
But he did. So it was just such a pleasure always to be at his Earth Day birthday celebrations and stuff. And it really stopped that deep grieving because, hey, and you can't do that. Live inside of you forever. You can't do that with any other human being. Only
right.
One other human being you lived inside of.
Your mother.
And now
she
lives inside of you forever.
Yes.
And she's not here, but she has not gone.
Lives inside of you forever.
I think he just sort of needed to know that she was still here.
Yeah.
You know, she hasn't gone anywhere.
Right. That is such a powerful thought. I'm sure he appreciated you saying just the right thing that you need to hear when your mother transitioned. That was beautiful. Well, that was one of those words of wisdom from Mama D. Well, thank you so much. And we'll be talking to you in 2 weeks on The Female Solution.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And don't forget, see, this is when you really need Facebook to see how beautiful you are looking.
Oh,
with your black and your gold.
Well, let me see if I can.
She's got that model shape.
I'm outside, y'all, so I only have a couple of devices with me that I'm trying to figure out.
You belong on a model. Got that model.
Well,
all of everything.
Well, I'm gonna post a picture of Mama D. Here, look this way and smile. Here we go. We're gonna post this, y'all. Oops. Fantastic. All right. So look for a photograph on the Female Solution Facebook page and my personal Facebook page, Naima Latif. Y'all just had to see Mama D today. She's looking too good. But yes, so she most certainly is a profound personality. And we're going to take a call right now, area code 323-449. You know, we are really excited to be expanding our urban farming program. And we're going to be hooking up with those who have some major programs that they are doing. And, you know, as it's significant that we're here at Rainbow Push for the 80th birthday celebration of Reverend Jesse Jackson, particularly because he has been such a champion in empowering people to use their skills, their abilities to create. He's been saying, stop the violence, save the children. And we have so many ways that we can inspire young people. And when we empower them with the understanding that they own their own communities and they have the capacity to create whatever they need, then they are inspired to stop the violence. So we've got with us today another dynamic sister who is here in the Chicago community and is making a major difference. She has done some award-winning work as a videographer, capturing the spirit of those troubled youth who simply need some inspiration. And now she's here working a program sponsored by Window, W-I-N-D-O, and this is an organization that is fantastic in its perception of what can really make a difference. Taking this vacant land, taking this unused land, taking this discarded land and creating gardens, urban gardens. So I want to welcome to our show today my dear sister, a dynamic force among the urban community, and so glad that she's come here from the West Coast to give the Midwest a bit of her magic. We certainly do appreciate that because this is what we need here in Chicago. And working in the South Side where we've had, as Reverend Jackson mentioned today, right in that area, two recent killings. So we want to take our lemons and make lemonade, take vacant land, unused land, and turn it into farmland, turn it into gardens, turn it into places where we are creating our own food and growing our own vegetables and teaching young people survival skills, those skills that really matter. Because when you can grow your own food, then you are, in fact, free. You are able to provide for yourself. And this is what they need to see so that they understand the power of self-sufficiency. They need to understand it. They need to experience it. They need to create it. So if you are listening online, we want you to join this conversation. And more importantly, we want you to join this movement. Next week, they will be giving the blessing. You will have some dignitaries blessing this effort for putting together the urban gardens, the Black on Black Love Community Gardens, and we're going to bring you live visual coverage of that next week and give you some inspiration so that wherever you are, you may also be able to take wasteland and turn it into farmland and inspire some young people to turn their lives around, because this is the task that will make the difference in our world. And one who has been at the forefront of changing lives, our sister, Valerie Goodloe. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show.
Just to give you the greeting, my sister, Assalamu alaikum. It's always good talking to you and being a part of the work that you're doing, which is dynamic. You're letting the world know, you know, what we need to do as a community, as parents, as mothers, and fathers in order to be successful. So that's always a blessing. And I'm hearing that you're talking about Reverend Jackson. And just a little bit about my relationship with Reverend Jackson. I know him from Los Angeles. So I was the West Coast
wow.
photographer for Johnson Publishing Company. And every year, he would come to, I hear a bunch of people talking.
Let me see if I can watch that a little bit.
Right, but I don't think
I'm trying to see if I can block that out a bit. Hopefully that's a little better. Yes, that's put this down here. Yeah, that's interesting that you are one of those who were doing the photography out there in Los Angeles. I'm sitting here now with his personal photographer here in Chicago, and we've just come from a major celebration here. Of his 80th birthday,
right.
I believe he's going to be heading out to Los Angeles this weekend for more celebrations. So that's
right.
quite significant.
Yeah. In fact, every year at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, I was always a part of the celebration where, you know, Berry Gordy would be there to celebrate, or Ray Charles, or somebody. And he always showed me love. He always called me a paparazzi, and I had to tell him each year that I ain't no paparazzi. I'm a documentary photographer. But just one thing that he did for me, when Michael Jackson had passed away.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't get in. They were only letting white photographers in to shoot Michael Jackson's funeral. And so I told Reverend Jackson, so he said, well, come on with me. So I went with him for about a 2 or 3 hour ride. We went to the hotel. Did a whole bunch of things, and he walked me into the Staples Center with him, and they still stopped me from going in. But what I did want to say was that Reverend Jackson made it a point to ensure that we're supposed to be there, especially covering our own people, especially covering our own events that we should be there, but even still, I was not able to go in, but he tried his best. So every time he come to Los Angeles, I was always there, a part of whatever it was, whether it was through the newspaper or Ebony Magazine or a birthday celebration, so and marches
wow.
and stuff in L.A. In fact, I was at St. Sabina when he did a march with Father Flager.
Yeah.
That's just a little bit about that. My reverence for the reverend. You know, he's a great man, and just to see him still continuing to treasure that role is really truly a blessing. And I was hearing or reading somewhere where he didn't think that he was going to live that long, but he's been able to get through these 80 years, and he's still busy. And I wish I had known about this celebration. I definitely would have been there because. He's a part of my growth and who I am as a photographer and as a person as well. You know, he's very profound, and knowing that he's still treasuring that road is really important. But again, coming from the West Coast, moving to Chicago about a year ago, a little over a year and a couple of months, one of the things coming into the community, sometimes you see more from the outside than you do when you're in the middle of what's going on. And as we pulled up on the block when we moved in, somebody bought us, took us from the airport here to the house. The first thing I saw was this vacant lot across the street. And it was wild looking, crazy, you know, shopping carts, everything was in there. And probably that first or second week that I was here, it came into my mind to see about trying to get that lot and to do a community garden. So it was always in the back of my mind when I first moved here to do that. But it was during COVID. trying to get in contact with public offices and all that was real hard in the very beginning. But in the first part of the year this year, it seemed to kind of open up, and I called over to the alderman's office, 21st Ward, to see how we could access this lot. And so there's a city man works for the city, works for Alderman Brookins, and he brought me into a meeting, and he's the one who kind of helped us really to initiate the garden. When he came into the meeting with Alderman, he let him know that we wanted to do this, and the Alderman just said, okay, well, you got it, you know, do what you need to do. You know, and that's a whole another process. The whole process of doing an urban garden or a community garden is more than a notion. And what I'm trying to do now is I've been documenting the whole process. And in regards to this process, I'm going to do a book and probably a small short film on how to initiate an urban garden. Because, see, a lot of times you'll see people, they'll start them, and you wonder, why did they quit? But there's a lot of reasons why they quit or they couldn't continue. And the main thing is what you need in this garden is water. If you don't have access to water, you cannot have a garden. And the only reason really that we were able to maintain this garden is that we're right next door to a blessing, to a family that lets us use the amount of water, as much water as we need to keep this garden going. If we did not have them, we would have started it, but it would really be no garden. So we've also, when I was here a while back, I did a program over at St. Sabina for Girls, and they do have a garden there, and it's funded by this thing, the Stein Company or Stein Gardens. And so we were a part of initiating the garden with some supplies. We were able to get some wood and dirt and some plants to build the bins to put the vegetables and stuff in. So we had the help of that organization. We had the help of the community cleaning out the lot, because the lot was horrible. And another thing about these lots too is that we don't realize as they look green and green as we look at them, that green is really just grown on top of a basement, on the top of a cement slab. So to even figure out how you're going to get dirt in those areas, how you're going to get through to do things is not what you think of when you first look at these lots. So we had to work around like cemented areas. We also had to fill in holes where they took up the building, and we had to fill it with mulch. We had to fill it with dirt. And now we put a cop cover on top so we could be able to plant next year. But if it wasn't for our community, the people on the block, none of this would be happening. It takes everybody on this block in order for it to really be successful. We decided to name the garden Black on Black Love. Years ago, I used to do T-shirts, and I did a T-shirt back in 1992. It was called Black on Black Love. And on the back of that shirt, it said, one of the leading causes of death among African Americans is Black on Black crime. We must stop killing each other. And it's kind of still holding true statements that we do have to stop killing each other, and the only way that we're going to do it is if we do have some black on black love. So that's how we named the garden, and the garden is centered around the community and love and peace. And if you're going to enter into this block, if you're going to enter into this garden, that's what you got to have to come into it. And what's been so amazing about this garden is that all the blocks surrounding us have come to see the garden and to see if they could be a part of it. So one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to have kind of like a little coming out party or coming out of our garden. And that's going to happen next week on October 16th, 1 to 5. We plan on having the garden blessed by all faiths. We have Father Flager, Mike, you know, Father Mike, Father Flager, who's coming. We have Rabbi, we have ministers, and we also have an imam that's going to be coming out to bless the garden. And then we're hoping to have, you know, things for the kids. We want to have a potato sack race. I know that's old school, but you know, sometimes we got to bring in old stuff to renew the new things that are coming up in our community. So we're going to have one of the guys here on our block. He's a very important person. His name is Perk, and he's going to be doing some stand-up and some spoken word. We're hoping to have a real good turnout. But one of the things that we do need is, because everything we're doing is run off of no money, no donations, no help, is that we're really looking for a face painter who might would want to donate their time to face paint the kids for this weekend, and you know,
oh,
even donate
a case
of water. Yeah, you know, so we're doing it kind of community style. You know, it's
wow,
really not much coming from the outside, and so we want everybody to come out.
Let you give the address for the,
okay,
for those who are in and around the Chicagoland area, so they can make sure they're there and the times of when it
okay
starts.
Now this is in Auburn Gresham. We're on 86 and Carpenter, 8616
mm-hmm
South Carpenter. We're between 86 and 87, between Morgan
more,
and Aberdeen.
More.
Mm.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
So,
fantastic. Well,
so anybody have any
questions?
If there's any questions? Yeah.
Well, I definitely want to send our crew out to be a part of that, because we've been working a farming program for the last couple of years, and
okay,
encouraging the city to make use of all of this unused land. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'd like to ask you a couple of things about how you go about teaching urban-raised children some farming skills, some gardening skills, some growing skills. You know, if you lived your life shopping at the grocery store and you don't know that broccoli comes out of the ground.
Right.
You know, how do you change that mindset? So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. So for those of you
okay
listening online, you want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 so we know you have something to say. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
I'm on a break right now.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving
mm-hmm
and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life.
So that's all Valerie said.
At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services.
No.
Call us today
right
at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
No.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
To his birthday this week. All right. I don't know if he's going to do it at the Beverly Hilton.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hours. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
At 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Sacrifice. They're already primed.
And we are back. We're talking to Valerie Goodlow of WENDOW. Now, tell us what the acronym WENDOW means again.
Okay, WENDOW is Women in Need of Discovering Own Worth. We're an organization.
Women in Need of Discovering Own Worth. Wow.
Right.
Wow. That is that.
So we've been
in
existence
WENDOW.
Yeah, so we've been in existence since like 1998, but we changed the focus of the organization in about 2007, 2008 to really focus on women and girls, because we found out just because of a situation that our family was going through with my daughter who was in gangs that there was really no girl program. So what we wanted to do was to ensure that there would be programming, curriculum, and things that would serve our girls and our women. So that's how we started the window.
Well, that is amazing. That is amazing. So now one of the things I'd love to know is how is your daughter doing now? Because I remember meeting her when you did the event. And I remember that she was very powerful in her.
Well, and Nafisa's doing
and
really
she,
well.
She
she's
was,
still in New York.
Yeah. Oh,
and she's
okay.
still in New York.
Yeah.
She's a lead mentor. She's been promoted in her job or her career in New York. She was an outreach worker, violence interrupter. Now she's a lead mentor.
Wow.
And she's doing real good things in New York. I think she's really in Queens.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing what you did. Not to speak about taking your lemons and making lemonade, being inspired to address youth gang violence because of your daughter's involvement and understanding how the impact of the society and whatever emotional things our children are going through can lead them to find comfort in a street organization and how parents can actually bring them back. So here we have so many, and you're in the Auburn-Gresham area, and we have so many situations that's adjacent to the Englewood community, which everyone has identified here in Chicago as one of the most gang-infested communities. Auburn-Gresham, you know, was for a long time known as one of the more, I guess you'd say, middle class, working class communities, but things like violence and economic despair, they spread. And so now every community,
right.
I'm going to tell you, last night I woke up to gunshots. It was 4:28 in the morning. I looked at the clock on my phone when I heard these gunshots, and I live in a community even further south. That that was unheard of decades ago. So
right.
It's literally
exactly.
Everywhere.
Right.
So how do you take young people? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask the question because I see the despair. I see the hopelessness, and the old economy isn't working for them. You know, they don't have ready jobs waiting for them out of high school or even out of college. And, you know, the drug trafficking has been made to appear glamorous, you know, with all of the images on the videos and everything. And so many of them are just embroiled in that lifestyle. So how do you take young people from a mindset of self-destruction and bring them into a state of faith in their own empowerment through a gardening program where they can see themselves growing their own food and taking care of themselves and even earning a living from that or being self-sufficient? How do you help them through that transition to that new mindset?
You know, it's really funny, even in regards to the garden, we had, during the summer, we had our grandchildren that were here. And one in particular, he's only 7. Every day he would go with us over to the garden as we either cut the grass or watered, pulled the weeds and did all that. And you just really see how it doesn't take anything for a child to really want to do that. If they see an adult out there doing it, then they want to do and model what that adult is doing. And see, that's one of the things that you can take a group of kids and, you know, put them in the middle of a garden, but they also need that role model, that person that's going to show and lead them on what to do to let them know that it's not about being hopeless, that there's a future in whatever it is you do, whether it's gardening, whether it's cleaning up your bedroom, you know, it all has to really come from that role model, and the role model really has to be the parents and the leaders and the elders in the community. Me and my husband was talking one day, and we had saw a film about these elephants, these young male elephants that were maybe 15, 16 years old, because they're comparable age to humans. And so these 16, 17-year-old elephants were actually tearing up the community. They were harassing the women, the girls. They were disrespecting the mother elephants. They were tearing up stuff. And what they ended up doing was bringing in the bull elephants, the males, back into the community.
I'd heard about that.
Right.
That's powerful.
So that's what we have to do. Right. And that's what we have to do as parents, as the men, the women. We have to inspire them to want to be, to work in the garden, to want to pick up trash, to want to clean their rooms, to want to talk respectful. You know, one of our models in regards to window is home is where the story begins. It's very important that we work with the whole family if we really want to see change in our communities. You know, you can give stuff to children that is great, and then when they go home, if that home is not connected to what that child is doing, then it could be lost. So we have to not only work with our children, we have to work with our younger parents that's being taken care of by their older parents, and recognize that it does take a community and it takes everybody in order to see change on our block. You know, so that's what we're trying to do, even with the garden across the street. We haven't really had much child participation yet, because we're still trying to get the garden together. But this is a block, like you said, being in Auburn Gresham, where you used to see it as a community where it was mostly homeowners and stuff like that. Well, the violence has moved up. It's around us. We're surrounded by BDs and GDs and vice lords and everything else that's surrounding us. So we're not only down the street from the violence comes up the block. You know, so what we're trying to do is with this Black on Black Love garden is to show that as a community that we want to work with each other, we want to love each other, and we want what we're doing to spread to the next block. So that's, we're hoping that this, whatever we do as a community, can spread. And I'm sure that's what the other peace gardens in other areas are trying to do as well. Making sure that there's activities for our children. There's things that if our parents need something, that we can get them. You know, it takes, you know, they have a thing, I think my husband calls it the Hirschberg model. And it's the pyramid model that shows that if you don't have the things that are taken care of in the home, I mean, the basic needs, so, you know, food, clothing, and shelter, if you don't have those things taken care of, that you'd never really be able to fully help change the direction of anybody. If they're out here starving to death, they ain't got no money,
absolutely,
they ain't got no clothing, no food, you know, they ain't got no deodorant. If those things are missing, then it's hard to reach people, because people are in the existing mode and survival mode. And what we want to do with Window especially is show that we got to get out of existing and surviving and get into the ability to be able to learn that there's a living mode as well. Most of us Black people, we've only been in the existing and survival mode. And what we want to do as an organization is to show that there is also a living mode. A mode where we can live with each other, where we can work with each other, and all these things, and that's only going to happen if we can get out of the existing mode and the survival mode. You know, and most people, we don't even know that there's another mode besides survival. We've been surviving our whole lives, and so now we have to figure out ways to live. And so we're trying to do that with the garden. You know that. You know, that you can come by here and with the garden is free, you know, that if you're on this block or on the next block and you see a green tomato that you want to pick, you know, just wait till the tomato gets big enough for you to eat it, and then you can pick the tomatoes. We got greens, we had some cucumbers. We didn't do the cucumbers right. We got peppers and we had cabbage and other things. And what we're doing is we're learning because we didn't know how to work, do no garden. I know nothing about none of this stuff, you know. So, but with the community, there's people all around us like showing us. Yeah, the guy next door, who's been a major person in regards to transforming the garden. He got these beautiful cucumbers. And so when I planted the cucumbers, he said, "Oh no, you done did that wrong." He said, "Them cucumbers ain't gonna grow right. You gotta give cucumber space." So next year we'll give the cucumber space.
And I'm learning something.
Then I try to cram in. Yeah, you can't cram stuff in with each other. We're gonna give each one its own home. You know what I mean? So instead of the tomatoes hooked up with the cucumbers, they'll have their own spot. You know?
Wow.
So that's what we're trying to do with our garden.
Well,
and
we are looking. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We're looking forward to you coming out. Absolutely. And we're looking forward to collaborating with you because now the last couple of years, as a matter of fact, we started right as things were developing with the whole COVID situation. But we identified plots of land here in Chicago and created a program called Pandemic Farms. And Pandemic stands for Producing Agricultural Nourishment, Developing Economies, Making Independent Communities.
Wow,
and
that's profound.
Well, we developed a whole teaching program, and I'm learning as I'm teaching because, you know, I was raised in the city. You know, I know nothing. My parents came from the South. They had farms. They knew how to grow things. They grew gardens in our backyard. But, you know, I didn't grow up learning how to grow things. That's not something that was taught in school. So what we did, we had a whole research, first of all, in learning what the plants were that were existing. And I stopped calling them weeds and started calling them native plants. Because they're native to the soil, and Mother Earth is very intelligent. The soil knows what it needs, and I discovered that the plants that we see growing naturally, what the earth is trying to do is replenish certain nutrients. So things like clover, that, you know, the untrained eye, it's not a blade of grass, it's a weed, let me kill it. No, that's replenishing the nitrogen that was depleted by the repetitive growing of grass. So, I mean, I was studying and learning. We were teaching as each session, three times a week. We were out on the land. It was at 111th Street here in Chicago. And we were basically learning all the different plants that were growing, what the nutritional value was, what the medicinal value was, things that you usually as a non non-knowing what plants are. When you grow up in a city and you look at everything, there's not a blade of grass, it's a weed, you kill it. We learned all of these plants that and the health food stores, you pay a lot of money for. Because burdock, you know, which grows plentifully in the city, and burdock root is used for so many medicinal purposes. Dandelion, and you know, people think, oh, weeds, kill them. Dandelion root tea, dandelion tea, leaves, dandelion greens. So we just learned so much. And so we are creating an ongoing educational program so that we can go to these lands where plants are growing and discover what the earth is giving us for absolutely free to heal our bodies. And
right.
And we can also teach young people and inspire them. And get to the point where we are actually taking the vacant land and benefiting from it and being able to inspire young people to not see weeds in a vacant lot, but to see food. And I'm telling you, when I go to my friend's house and I look around that lawn, because I've studied what, you know, how to prepare dandelions. We were cooking certain dishes and showing online. We had our online class and people were seeing us making and preparing food from the crops that grew and the plants that were growing in the ground. So when I go to my friend's house and I look in their lawn, I'm thinking, oh, I need to come and pull some of these up here and make me some dinner. You know,
I haven't seen you for years. person I haven't been in.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. It's really funny. Now, so, I'm into the natural stuff, but there's these one weeds that I do not like, and I'm pulling them suckers up every time I see them. And it's probably the ones that you're talking about, ones that they grow all over the country. I've seen, you know, that smothers and kills off a lot of other stuff, though, too.
Well, that's the thing. You have to know what plants grow together. And what was interesting, we studied
right.
what plants are harmonious and grow together, which ones, you know, fight each other.
Right.
It's like people. But plants, they have a life. They have a community. They communicate all of this just like people. And then understanding how you must have certain insects, you know, bees,
right.
butterflies.
Exactly.
I mean, earthworms, all the things that make the ecosystem healthy. Nothing is here by accident. Everything has value. And so, and going through this program, our Pandemic Farms program, I learned so much that I realized need to be taught to our children. So we're developing a homeschooling program that parents can do at home, whether your children are in school or you're homeschooling or whatever, but the things that they will learn that give them appreciation of the earth and the
right,
power
right.
that they have to feed themselves from what's growing in the earth, how if they're going to plant food, you know, the seasons that it takes. We learn all about composting, how you recycle things like banana peels and orange peels and apple peels, and because, you know, you allow the earth to replenish itself using organic matter. So I learned so much and was able to teach people like myself who knew nothing because we grew up buying our food from the grocery store. So when we learn how to empower ourselves, that changes the feeling of being weak and powerless, and so it'll change our response. So my next vision is to be able to take those GDs and BDs, everybody who's killing each other over drug money, let's grow some plants and sell them, make a living off of them, learn how to feed ourselves, get out of survival mode, like you say, and empower ourselves with real power and help the earth at the same time and work together in doing this and realizing we don't have to kill each other over money for the sale of plants that the government before was calling illegal and now is saying, well, only certain licensed people can sell it. So they're still cutting you out of the business. So let's just remove that whole element, that whole trap of getting you into the criminal justice system, and let's use this earth in a way that empowers us and frees us from that survival mode. So
right.
I know you've got to get back to work, but before we take another break, give us your thoughts on that possibility. Can we change the mindset of those fighting, warring factions in our community and really turn them toward peace?
Well, you know, I really believe that is true because, like I said, even with this garden over here, we've had, which I'm sure are maybe what you would maybe call gang members that have, you know, that have come help us with the garden. You know what I mean? They help in plant, clean up, and all that. So I know that can happen. You know, and then we have our male elephants here. You know what I mean? We have our male elephants that come into the garden. They can teach these young elephants other ways than killing each other. You know, so it takes a village. I know that even with a garden over at St. Sabina, a couple of the young men that are their master gardeners over there came from those same warring factions. You know what I mean? They came from being in situations where they were shot and doing things that weren't as productive as what they're doing now. So, yes, anybody, I believe, has the ability to change, especially if we take the youth up under our wing. You know, you have to be able to remember where you came from. I remember where I came from. I was a gang member. I was in gangs in Los Angeles and was proud of it. And I still, when I still see my gang member, people from years and years ago, I remember that's what I still am. But I'm one now, that can spread good through being associated in a gang rather than being somebody who's tearing the community apart. It's going to take each of these young people that are in gangs to change the dynamics in the gangs. And I'm just going to go on to one thing. A lot of people are AKs, they're alphas and all these things. They all got colors. They all got signs. They throw them up. They got little noises and stuff they make, just like gang members do. So to think that a gang member is just going to stop being a gang member is almost impossible. It's not going to happen. But if they know that they have other things that they could do that are positive, if they are shown a right way, that those gangs can change the dynamics, that the BDs and the GDs and whoever else they are, the vice lords and everybody else can do things for peace and for the betterment of their community. You know, I ain't so much against gangs as I am against the behavior of what happens in gangs. They have camaraderie. They have a bond that cannot hardly be touched. You know, so to expect those dynamics to end is not really the right way. But we can, through hooking up with these young men and young girls that are also in gangs, that they could put their forces for good, that they could change those dynamics. And, you know, and those are some of the things we do want to show in regards to this, into this community here, into this garden. Because we have young men that walk through that stop and look at what we have on the walls. We got black on black love. The power is in the people, not the power is to the people, but the power is in the people. Love is power. You know, rise up, healthy eating, choose a path that is most right. You know what I mean? Love your brother and sister like you want them to love you. These are the messages we have in this garden. So anybody who got those same kind of attitudes and messages is welcome here. We don't want no insanity brought inside the garden. If you got them other things, you know, you're welcome.
This way. Well, that, you know, I think that's a powerful thought, because one of the things that we realize is that there are a lot of people, if you give them something to do, they would gladly get involved. They just don't know what to do. And so there's a lot of frustration because, you know, we react after the fact, after the killing, after the shooting. We had these marches and, you know, people putting balloons and teddy bears and all that at the place where people were shot. You know, that's a reaction. But
right.
We need to be proactive. We need a game plan. We need to be following
exactly.
A game plan where we can see where the end is going to be, and we can envision what it's going to look like once it's done. We can envision having communities where there are no wastelands and there's no anger, there's no frustration, there's no hopelessness, because people feel the power in being able to just work the land. And then for those, and there are many young people who don't have that male elephant. They don't have that elder. They don't have that strong male figure in their household that teaches them respect. They can
right.
work under the supervision of those kinds of people who
right.
are willing to approach it with love, because that's really what it's about. You have to correct
right.
with love.
Exactly.
And when we do that, we can inspire.
And even for the young men, we started a curriculum. It's called Great Aspirations. It's based on 9 steps and 9 principles. We initiated it at the JTDC with a group of 15 young men. And it was very, very powerful. COVID, in fact, got into the way, so we ended up having to program. But we're in the hopes of trying to get it started back. So anybody who has a youth that's in gangs, wants to be in gangs, trying to get out of gangs, we have a curriculum that we built specifically for that youth as well as parents.
Well, if you can, I know you got to get back to work soon, but we got to take another quick break. When we come back, can you tell us a bit about how that program works? Because I know it's a thing that needs to happen. And if anybody on our switchboard would like to speak to our guest, Valerie Goodloe, please press 1. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Listening to the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and our guest today is Valerie Goodloe, who is organizing a powerful project, the Black on Black Love Community Garden, there in the Urban Gresham community, 8616 South Carpenter. And next week, they're going to have a wonderful ceremony blessing this work as it's innovating new ways to use land that has been left to go to waste. So we're excited about this, and we urge you all to come on out next weekend, next Saturday, and be a part of the celebration. There's going to be a number of dignitaries and community activists that are all a part of helping to encourage this work. So a lot of it has to do with changing the mindset. So Valerie, you know, you have just been so innovative in facing what a lot of people are afraid to face, and that is misguided youth, so that they can return to a state of peace and harmony. But a lot of people are afraid of young people. They're afraid to even talk to them. So with this, with many projects you've done, you've faced some of the ones that have been hardcore gang members. So tell us about the program that you all did before and how that worked and how you got people involved.
Well, initially the program was going to be called, when it came to my mind, it was in a dream and it was called Gang and I. And really it was a program that was to help any youth or anybody that was associated in gangs that wanted to get out or did not want to get into a gang but didn't know how to really adjust to peer pressure, that this program would help them to develop the skills themselves as kind of like in a self-help group, like, say, Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. Even though these programs have guidelines and principles and values, it still takes that community or that community of people to find their own solutions. And that's kind of how Ganging On, or now called Great Aspirations, works. It's a group that that's given principles and values to guide their life by. Say one of the principles is that I no longer want to harm or kill people. You know, and for someone to really acknowledge that, that's like someone acknowledge I don't want to drink and use no more. I mean, because, you know, things that happen in our kids' life now are guided by addiction. You know, our kids are addicted to a lifestyle and situations that even if they want to stop, they don't know how. I was watching on the news the other day, they were showing youth that were jackers, you know, carjackers. They were 12, 13, 14 years old, and they were saying how the videos, I guess they have a video on how to jack somebody, was so enticing to the youth that they all decided one day that they're going to start carjacking. Now, they were 13, 14 years old, and they all had guns that they got on Facebook. The girl who was a carjacker said that she wasn't ready to give up carjacking yet, holding people up with knives in order to get their car. And she might have just wanted a car because she didn't feel like waiting on the bus. I mean, we have some really deep-stemmed issues in our community. And it's going to take more than just getting them a job. Or you give them a job right now today, if they ain't off on the weekends, they might shoot you. Or if you give a kid a job today that's just straight out of a gang, you know, he may not want to pull up his pants. He may not want to come to work without lean or being loaded and high. So we have to take all those things away first and implant them with principles and values. That has to happen before anything is to stick. You hear all the lawmakers say, well, I don't know why it ain't stopping. It ain't stopping because you are out here maybe stopping something temporarily, but we have to get into the homes of the families. We have to stop this before it gets started, and if it's already started, then we have to involve the parents. One of the things that we wanted to do with Great Aspirations, we want to be tied in with the courts. We want to be tied in with a probation officer, and most importantly, we want to be involved with the parents. Home is where the story begins. If we don't change the dynamics in the homes, if we don't show our parents that you have to make different decisions, and if you don't know how to make those different decisions, let us teach you. Let us show you how to do it. You know, we're not going to change. It's not going to end. It's not. We can put flowers on all we want to. We can bring the kids into the garden, you know what I mean, and show them how to plant trees and stuff. But I tell you what, if they're going home and they're seeing their mama getting whooped or they're being sodomized by some stepdad that the mama didn't vet, and then he's going out angrily shooting people because he's being bent over every night, you got to stop that stuff. Now, I'm just saying really what's real for me. In order to change the dynamics of what's going on with our youth, we have to have safe places for our youth to go to once they leave the garden, once they leave the school. When they get home, they need to know that what they're going to do in that household is peaceful and trustworthy. So my whole thing is getting in there doing that. I'm ready to do that work. You know what I mean? I talk to organizations that don't, it's too, I don't want to deal, we don't want to deal with the parents. We don't want to deal with the parents because, they're too far gone. It's gone back too many generations. But if you ain't laying to do that, then you ain't laying to change nothing.
That is,
if you're not, if you are not laying to get into these homes and help these parents make better decisions, then it ain't changing. You know, so we got a lot of work set out for us to do. Again, the curriculums have to be based on the whole family, giving it to the youth, but also because you can get something to the youth, and then the parent get jealous because, oh, you're going to listen to them damn people over there, but you ain't going to pay no attention to me. That's why you got to bring the parent in. The parent got to buy into it. The parent got to buy into the program.
That's true.
You know,
and that is the hard work. That's the hard work because you're dealing with grown people who might cuss you out, throw you out, you know. Everything you've done during the day, you got this young person all inspired to change their lives, and then they go home to the drunk parent that beats them or sexually abuses them, and you've undone all the work that's been done on the outside. So that is the hard work going into those homes.
Right.
And
but that's the work. That's the work that's got to be done. That's the work that got to be done. Those people who are doing that work get a $20,000 grant. $20,000 for a team of five or six people to last a year. But then you got other programs that are getting millions of dollars to stop something. And my whole thing is, okay, stopping it is great. But what about it staying stopped? If you pull them off the street, what you going to replace it with? We got to start replacing. You know, we have to start replacing the behavior with other things. So that's my little nutshell.
Yeah, well, I totally agree.
And all this, let me say this. This ain't coming from somebody who went to school, got a degree in sociology. I lived on top of a hill, and I'm just speculating because I'm looking at some evidence based stuff. No, I'm a hood person. I came from this shit. I know what happens when you have an alcoholic mother, a schizophrenic mother. I know what happens when you go into the street and you get hooked in the gangs. I know about being in the life. I know about all these things. So every program that we developed, every curriculum that we got is based on empirical knowledge. And then it was ratified and certified by black psychologists and other people say, damn, how you come up with this shit? Excuse my language. We came up with it because we lived it. We lived it. You know, so, you know, I'm just out here trying to do the work. That's it.
Yeah, that is true. I agree. I definitely agree that the real value is when you go into the homes, you deal with the dysfunction. You got to have professionals who know how to counsel, and then you really need people who have been there. And sometimes that's what's missing. People want to bring in professionals with all the degrees and the formal training, but these people have not lived through anything. They have not experienced it, so they can't speak from the point of view of somebody who's been there. And when you haven't been there, there's a level of authenticity that you don't have in the eyes of people you're talking to. When you can come to somebody and say, look, I've been there. I've been in an alcoholic family. I've been, you know, parents in jail or, you know, been abused. I've been there. I know what it feels like. You know, all of these things. If you can speak from the point of view of somebody who has lived through that and you know how they feel, you know what the damage is because you've been through it and come out of it. That gives you a whole lot more credibility than somebody who hasn't been through anything, but they got, you know, a degree from college, and so they can look on you and make you feel like trash, because that's a lot of times why those people get rejected, when they try to help and they have the sincerest intention, but they haven't had the experience to give them the real empathy of why people
right.
end up that way. Now, something I observed, Bill Cosby gave an address. This was many years ago. I think it was at one of the PUSH conventions, and he was just kind of expressing his frustration at a program that he had to save young people. They come out of prison or juvenile detention program and just not be motivated to even get up and go to his counseling program. And he's like, you know, the people are here trying to save your life, and you talking about how you spend the night with your girlfriend, and, you know, so he was frustrated and just feeling like it just was not, that they weren't grateful. But I think he couldn't empathize with what they had gone through.
Yeah, and let me say that about this. Now, I really do believe that those people are very necessary to because they have been to school. They have learned all the things on how to do the spreadsheets and how to formulate the programs, how to time things right, how to make the right amount of weeks. But what they need to do is turn it over to the people that actually, like you said, have the empathy and the natural ability to help change somebody's life. If you ain't been through the fire, it's hard to tell somebody how to get out of it. You might have an idea. Well, you know, you take a fire extinguisher, you put the fire out, you know, but it don't tell you nothing about all the things that you need to do to ensure that you don't get another fire. You know, what is that? And only somebody who's been through the fire can tell you how not to, you know, the things that they know that had them start that fire back again.
That's one of the things that I think has to be addressed. You know, when we deal with the fact that people are going through issues, they really need to be able to speak the truth about what's happening, and sometimes we don't know how to not be embarrassed or feel ashamed of our own people. And when you can understand, then there's no shame. There's just understanding what people need to get better, to heal from the hurt, to transform their lives. So many people look down on people who need help because they haven't been in a position where they have needed help. And that's why
right.
they can't help.
Right, exactly. You know, so, I mean, one of the things that was really funny when I first came to Chicago and I said something about the gangs, somebody told me, you know, we don't have gangs in Chicago. And I said, what?
Who told that? I'm not
even going to say who said it. But that's the thing. And so they told me, when I was getting ready to come into the juvenile hall, that if I'm going to bring this program in, which they liked it, I couldn't call it Gangin'on, that I had to change the name. So I changed the Great Aspirations because the GA happened to be the same logo I had for Gangin'on,
okay.
The GA. So I changed it to Great Aspirations, which is great. But I told them I'm not taking the gang out of the steps and the solutions. Or the traditions. I'm not taking that word out because you tell these young men, you tell these young ladies that they ain't in no gang. You tell them that they in something else. Tell them that they in a clique. You tell a boy he's in a clique. Cliques is for girls. Girls is in a clique. You know what I mean? So to even call a gang a clique, you know what I mean? It's not fair. And to call them a tribe is loyal.
Family.
Loyal.
Yeah.
People, and to call gangsters and gang members other than what they are is unfair to the gang member.
Right.
You gotta call them what they are.
Holy
and they ain't got no problem when
right.
you call them no gang member. They want you to call them that. So you acknowledge them. All right, gangster.
Right.
gang member. I know that's what you are.
Hey, that's a term of endearment, you know, a matter of pride. So, you know, we look at it as a negative, but those who are in it look at it as a positive. They're just proud of that. This is the people who are in a sorority or a fraternity. You know, this is my group.
Right, exactly.
This is my people.
Exactly.
These are the ones that got
this
back.
Is a fraternity.
I belong to this family. It's so, I mean, you know, when I was teaching in high school, and some of my students, and some of them were honor students too. They were, you know, showing me the gang handshakes and whatnot. And they were getting a kick out. I'm like, yeah, we are this, we are that. You know, and I'm looking at them and I'm noticing a lot of them kind of like had leadership sort of positions among everybody in a gang is not dumb, not a dropout, not ignorant.
Oh, no.
You know?
Heck no. Heck no.
You know, they're running the drug business, you know, all that in high school. So if this is a reality of what their life has evolved to, because maybe at home, I mean, I had a student whose mother had just kicked him out because her boyfriend didn't like him. And so, I mean, he was one of them. So I'm looking at all this, I'm going, now these are the lines that they've had to adjust to, and it's nothing they can
right.
do about what their parents have done to them, but they figure out how to survive, and they find a group of people they can identify with that's going to be
right.
supportive. And I
exactly.
Because it's about surviving, and they figured out how to survive, and they found a group
and
of people.
Even, they haven't even got to survival yet, sis. They haven't even got to survival. They're in the existing phase.
Yes,
they're existing
yes.
with these situations that they have not put themselves into. They
yes.
ain't old enough yet to survive. They are just
right.
existing with what they got. How fair is that? How fair is that? That all you have given your child is the ability to exist. No more. Every time you change, even
right.
when they get good step parents and then the mom and the daddy, they don't like each other and then they break up. The kid and got used to you. Now you threw somebody else into the mix, you know.
Yeah, that's traumatizing, and I've seen that
yes,
happen.
Yes, it is traumatizing.
With, you know, a new person in the house that don't like them and they don't get along with. No, they had just formed the emotional bond with the old person, and then oh well, you know.
Right.
I had a student tell me, well, you know, it was so heartbreaking. You know, my student, he was in. But third grade, he'd actually wet his pants. And, you know, I'm taking him down to the office to, you know, call his mother, get a change of clothes, whatever. And he's telling me the whole story. Well, I know she's not going to come because she's in school. And she quit her old boyfriend who would have came and got me. But now she got a new boyfriend and he don't like me, so he ain't going to come. And she don't get out of school until 3 o'clock, so I'm not going to be able to get my clothes changed. I mean, he had the whole thing in his head. But this is how his life was affected
right.
by his mother's personal life. Change and the new boyfriend that don't like him and all this, and he ain't gonna come and help.
Right.
You know, so I'm in third grade. You got to deal with this. This is your life. You have to, and so the consequence, you have to sit there in your wet pants all day because nobody's going to bring you a change of clothes because your mother's new boyfriend does not like you and she quit. The
right.
And he got the whole story. Yeah, she quit him because he cheated on her. So she put him out, and this new boyfriend, he don't like me, so he's not gonna come. You know, I mean, he just told me this whole story. I'm thinking, man, that's a heavy burden in third grade. You got to think of all that. What are you, 9 years old? You got to have this burden
right.
on your shoulder. And the bottom line is you have to sit there in your wet pants all day, which he did because she didn't come till 3 o'clock. After she got out of school because the other boyfriend was not going to come get him. You know, so I'm like, man, it's a heck of a life.
And
so you
yep.
miss a whole
and
day
that's,
of school because of your family
right.
drama.
Right, exactly.
So these kind of things, what they live with. And that's why they're angry.
Right.
By the time they get to be teenagers, they're angry, and they in their gang who will take care of them because the parents don't. How are you going
right,
to
exactly.
fault them for that?
Right, you can't. You can't. You can't.
Well, we got to take our last
yeah.
break, and you probably have to get back to your. You all are doing the work now in the garden. Now.
I'm you know, what's happening is in the garden we have these logs and what are they, stumps and stuff that we have throughout the garden, and one of them is shaped just like Africa. So I painted it red, black, and green. And one looks like a flower. So I'm painting this one now in flower. Look like a flower. And the other one, you know, so I'm painting the base of it, and then I'm going to paint messages on top. I'm just trying to get everything ready so we have a beautiful garden when people come in.
Wow. Well, we'll let you finish your work. I know it's going to be a fantastic event. What time again does it start?
1 o'clock.
Next
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock next
one
Saturday.
1 o'clock.
Looking forward to giving you all a visual image of the Black on Black Love Community Garden at 8616 South Carpenter here in the Chicagoland area. So for those of you who are outside of the city or even outside the country, we're going to be there visually. Join us live on our Female Solutions Facebook page. And we certainly do appreciate all of you who are in spirit supporting this effort, because we are going to transform lives and change this world. So thank you so much.
That's what we got to do, my sister. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Continue doing what you do. You're an inspiration to us all.
Thank you. Thank you, sister.
All right.
All right.
We'll be right. All right. Thanks so much. We'll see you
all right.
Saturday.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And we'll be right back after this last break. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we gladly get your thoughts. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
With Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Way O and Yah Shalom. Way O means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell
to all things seen and unseen that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
You're listening to the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and this has been quite a day. We spent the morning with another fabulous celebration of Reverend Jesse Jackson's 80th birthday. So many dignitaries that came to wish him well, including the mayor of the city of Chicago and the congressional representatives, Bobby Rush and Danny Davis, and so many others that came to offer their greetings, celebrate with him, and remind us of the life-changing work that he has done over the years. And as always, we are reminded that the work is not over. It's not finished. And the real struggle is for the next generation, our youth. There were young people who are part of the PUSH oratorical contest, and they spoke of how he had inspired them to use their voice to make a change, to make a difference, to inspire others. And this is really where the battle is. It is with our young people, many of them who are going through such difficulties. Many are living in homes that are beyond dysfunctional, homes that are destructive, and they try to survive the best way they can. And often what they find is support among street organizations that often use means that the government has deemed illegal and sometimes are illegal, in order to assist in the survival of those who often don't have supportive families to make sure they have a roof over their head and food to eat and clothes to wear, the basics. So when we look at what we don't have, survival means, starts with food, because if you can't eat, you can't live. And when you're hungry, you're not willing to listen to anybody's philosophizing. You don't want to come to school and sit around, your stomach growling because you don't have food at home. You're angry because people have things that you don't have. And so it becomes easy to become part of some kind of an organization that will make sure you're fed, make sure you have money to buy clothing, make sure you have a place to stay and you're not living out on the street. There are many, many homeless youth. So when we look at the reality of what our dysfunctional homes have produced in terms of angry children who can carjack, who can point a gun or a knife at you and force you to get out of your car because they want to ride, they want to stand out in the cold waiting for a bus or whatever the case may be, we have to look at the whole systematic breakdown of our society. And one of the biggest breakdowns is our lack of access to a means to take care of ourselves. Feed yourself. And we have all of this land. Mother Earth has plentiful land to take care of everybody. But we don't even know how to identify edible food growing out of the ground. We don't know how to plant and cultivate edible food so that we can feed ourselves. We have trash in vacant lots all across our urban areas. And the land is the answer to the problem. If you understand how to love the land, cultivate the land, and work with the land so that it can feed you. So we've had a chance to listen to a visionary project by Valerie Goodloe, a longtime cinematographer, a photographer, one who has taken her craft to expose the pain of youth violence through gangs, and now she's taken her love as a mother to the earth and growing what is to be christened, I guess you could say, next Saturday as the Black on Black Love Community Garden. That will be at 1 o'clock next Saturday, October 16th, 1 p.m., 8616 South Carpenter Street in Chicago. So we're looking forward to bringing you
some visual images as we broadcast our show from that location and share with our listening and viewing audience a vision of hope. We can take every vacant property and grow food. We can grow what we need to survive, and we can make it a teaching program so that urban youth learn farming. There's a whole history of how and why we left the South. We left the South when it became violent after our period of enslavement. Those people who forced us to work for free and grow crops for their benefit did not want us to leave and did not want us to own the land that could
You believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes. We believe in freedom, cannot rest. Hear me talking to you. We do believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes. Until the giving of black men.
Yes, we cannot rest until we create the kind of a society where we can sustain ourselves, we can live as free people, able to take care of ourselves. We are able to be respected as people who are able to raise families in our own homes, on our own land, and we cannot rest until we make that happen. And so this project, Women in Need of Developing, what was that acronym for window? Own Worth. There we go. Window is the organization under which this community garden is being formed, WINDO, and that stands for Women in Need of Developing Own Worth. So this is a project that reminds us of who we are. We are expressions of divine energy. We are worthy, and we need to form partnerships and relationships with those who see our worth so that when we give birth to children, we can raise them with a sense of being valued and valuable. And we can raise them in environments where they are loved and nurtured and cared for so that they are not always in fear of not being able to survive. It's fear that creates violence, fear of not being able to have food to eat or clothes to wear or a place to live, and fear that no one will share, and fear that people will despise you because of what you don't have. This is what creates the urban despair and the violence from the anger. We can remove all of that. And we have the power to do so. So we want to thank our guest today. We talked earlier to Terry Hardy, who is head of the Ride for Hope, Ride for Change movement, and certainly the World of Soul Motorcycle Club is showing how those male elephants, those elder men have the power to inspire and motivate and protect our young people. So we urge him to continue that work in guiding and supporting our young people. And we thank you to Mama D. Of course, she'll be on our fourth Saturday with more wisdom with Mama D, and wisdom standing for women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. Definitely that is the work that we are doing, preparing the next generation to build the new earth. I'm Naima Latif. Thank you for joining us, and join us tomorrow evening.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.